Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
UVA football is the softest bunch of cream puffs, bow tie wearing, brie cheese eating, NASCAR wearing wussies I've ever seen in my life. I'm going to punch people from UVA right in the neck. They wear suits to games. That's absurd.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Guys in Ties pod. And it is Sunday at around noon when we are recording this. And with me today, like always, is my partner in crime, Rob Elder. Rob, what's going on?
Hey, Dustin. Always good to be back. You know, as you might be able to pick up, I'm not sure how the sound is, but I'm at the beach right now, but the pod couldn't wait. You know, we had to get this out.
Yeah, you sound a little off. Your voice sounded so, someone said comforting last week, and I don't know how I feel about that, but it's definitely not the same quality, but hopefully it will be better this week, because we got a lot of great responses from people last week, so thank you to everyone who listened, thank you to everyone who gave feedback and comments, and thanks to everyone who came back. Y'all are the real MVPs in this process.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Rob can't stay very long, you know, he's got some other things to do at the beach, you know, besides
sun bathing and anything else that comes with it.
Yeah, so this episode's going to be a little bit different than usual. We're going to talk to Rob for like 10, 15 minutes maybe, and then we are going to call some other people and see what's going on. So we're going to phone not one friend, but a couple friends this episode, get their opinions on some issues that have happened in UVA sports for over the last week, and then yeah, we'll see what goes on. Sound good?
Let's do it.
All right. Rob, I know you are excited about this, but training camp just started for UVA football a couple days ago. What are your thoughts on this?
I mean, I'll tell you, this is, for me, one of the most exciting times of the year. You know, before the season hits and before reality sinks in about how good or bad we may be, this is the time when we're good. There's only positive reports coming out, which is just great to hear. So we install a new offense. We get Bryce Perkins there.
When was the last time you heard a negative report coming out of a training camp? You know, like,
Oh man. I mean, out of UVA training camp, I don't know.
It's never like, oh, this guy is like not as good as we thought he was. It's always like, oh, they look good. They're making all the throws. They're catching. The linebackers look quick. You know, it's never like, oh, this guy looks overweight this year.
That's right. College football training camp is beautiful. NFL is a little tough, can be a little harsh. College, you know, it's all good. It's all good.
Yeah. I something that's been kind of been on my mind for the past week or so has been Bryce Perkins. And I know there's been some recent articles that came out about him, about how about his ability to play and his ability to run, as well as throw. But I still think he's kind of an unknown, and I was wondering if you had heard anything or talked to anyone who kind of understands, like, what is he actually going to bring to the table? Because I don't think anyone quite knows what's going on with him. I'm sure people do, but I don't.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, here's the thing with Bryce Perkins is that at the end of the day, you're right, he's an unknown. He's never played a D1 college football as a full-time starter. You know, he did okay at junior college, but he just did okay. He didn't put up gaudy stats.
He went to a national championship.
He did. But, you know, we'll see kind of where things go. And Jay James on the best seat in the house. I love that show. But he comes in and he's got people on the show making Michael Vick comparisons and Lamar Jackson comparisons. Like, whoa. Like, let's settle down, guys. You know, he's fast. He might be the fastest guy on the team from what we hear, but how fast is our team? He might be the fastest guy on our team, but he might be the 15th fastest on Miami or the 10th fastest on Virginia Tech. You know, he's got a ways to go with throwing. Hopefully throwing lanes open up with the option, but you know, we'll see. I think we as a fan base need to kind of take a step back and say, hey, he's a first time starter. I mean, remember how Kurt Benkert looked his first season? It was okay. But yeah. I think really the big storyline we should be focusing on is what this offensive system looks like. Mm-hmm. Are we going to go back? Well, I'd say go back. Is the coaching staff going to go back to what they did with Taysom Hill at BYU? Mm-hmm. How much option are we going to see? I think that's really the biggest storyline we should be focusing on right now.
Yeah, I with the you know the last kind of quote running or mobile quarterback we had was David Watford. And so I have kind of hesitancy to really trust another mobile quarterback before I can know that he is able to throw and is not going to be spooked out of the pocket within 1 second, you know?
Yeah. Oh, of course. I think the difference we'll see here, too, though, is Bryce Perkins is a willing and capable runner. I mean, Bronco Mendenhall the other day was talking about how he's willing to slide, which mm-hmm. having watched RG3 on the Redskins for a couple years is just a huge sigh of relief.
Right.
But, you know, with David Watford, we were running a pro-style offense with Mike London and I think Steve Fairchild at the time. So, okay. You know, now that we're going to spread it out, we'll see if that looks any different. But, I mean, I'm definitely excited for Bryce Perkins. He's going to bring a new dynamic we haven't seen to the field in a long time in Virginia football.
Yeah.
It's just kind of the question of what should our expectations be and how good can he be?
I think another kind of question mark we have is on the offensive line, and I think that's going to have a big deal of how good Perkins plays or does not play, just based on how they can protect him and how they, if they open up any running lanes for him.
Oh, definitely. Because Perkins isn't going to be a guy we want running in between the tackles. In order for him to be effective on the outside, we got to have, whether it's Jordan Ellis, PK Kyer, whoever it is, they got to be able to run inside. So you're right, spot on. Hopefully that offensive line is good enough, you know, to at least push a couple people back, get more yards than we did last year.
Yeah, speaking of the running backs, you just wrote an article this past week, didn't you?
Yeah, no, everyone's got to check out Who's Place, man. Great website, great content coming out, you know, great guys, they know their stuff. But yeah, we're doing a football preview.
And Rob was not a fan of the running backs.
You know. Are you a fan of the running backs?
I like Jordan Ellis. I think he's a good running back. He's kind of hard-nosed, and he's got good – I feel like he has good patience and feel. Granted, he hasn't really produced much in the last couple of years. You've said this before, but he doesn't have that breakaway speed that some of these other running backs do. But, you know, he's got good footwork. Good feet work.
Yeah. No, he's a hard worker for sure. And he's the type of guy that, like, you want on your team. Maybe it's, like, the backup running back. You know, maybe not the starter. But I like the guy. The players respect him, which you got to give him credit for. And we'll see if anyone else steps up. You know, maybe PK Kyer comes in and does a better job. Lamont Atkins is going to be running a lot of the option stuff, the same kind of role as, you know, and Olamide Zaccheaus in the backfield. Maybe he can open things up.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just like, we're just better this year, and maybe he does better.
But you know, the thing about Jordan Ellis is that he's, going back to the type of player he is, the type of person he is that Bronco has, or his teammates have chosen him to choose his jersey number first the past 2 years, even when he wasn't like the main feature running back. And I think that speaks a lot to his character as well as the type of hard worker he is. Even though it hasn't like paid off on the field yet, I think it will. I hope it will. I really do. We need a good running game this year.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think we definitely improve. We'll just see kind of how much. Hopefully we get some more consistency.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Cool. So I want to transition now to my favorite sport, which is basketball. And there has been a lot of news about basketball this past week, even though the season is like 50 days away, I think. I haven't looked at John
Rothstein. Practice starts in 50 days. I don't know. John Rothstein.
I haven't looked at John Rothstein's Twitter profile today, but but I think it's around 50 days, and I'm super excited for it. But there's a lot of stuff that came out this week about the non-conference schedule. Did you have a chance to look at it?
I did. I'm curious to hear your thoughts.
I have some thoughts. Okay, so we already knew a couple of them, right? We knew we were going to play Townsend first. We knew we were going to play Maryland in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. Gross. We knew that we were going to play Marshall.
Yep.
I
didn't realize, Marshall's pretty good, it sounds like.
No, Marshall's good, I want to get to that first, but I want to talk first about our tournament that we're going to play in the fall, the Battle for Atlantis. So first off, the Battle for Atlantis are these tournaments that we're in all the time are usually a great way to get good exposure to a lot of different teams that could make the NCAA tournament. And if you look at the tournaments that UVA's played in the past couple of years, they haven't been filled with people who have made the NCAA tournament. Usually it's just some mid-major teams and then some okay Power 5 teams. But when we saw that we were supposed to be in this Battle for Atlantis tournament, a lot of people were really excited for this because it means that we would get a chance to play some really good teams. We would get some more exposure, and it was just going to be an overall better experience for the players. But this year, it's not as filled with people as we would have liked. And I think I'm kind of disappointed with the field, even though it should still be a good tournament. But I don't know. Have you looked at the field yet?
Yeah, a little bit. We don't play anyone big to open up. I think we can play some bigger teams.
We
like down the road if we win a game.
Yeah. So
I don't know.
So here's what the bracket looks like. We start off playing Middle Tennessee State, right? Who is usually not a pushover mid-major, right? They knocked off Michigan State a couple years ago. They were back in the turn. They were really close to making, or did they make the tournament last year? I think they made the tournament last year.
They might have. I'm not sure.
But they kind of had a tumultuous offseason. They lost their coach, and they lost a bunch of their top scorers. So they are kind of a shell of their former team. All right, so we should be able to take care of them. The next game, the next opponent would be either Butler or Dayton. All right, once again, Butler usually makes the tournament. And I really don't know how good they're going to be this year, honestly. But
I'll say is Butler shows up in big games.
Yeah, they do. And they're tough. Like, they'll knock you around, too. They're not afraid to get physical. Dayton, you know, is a good mid-major, but they haven't been good since Archie left to go coach at Indiana. And so I think Butler probably wins that game. And then on the other side of the bracket, you've got Florida, Oklahoma, Wisconsin, and Stanford.
Dude, thank God Trae Young is not going to be on this team.
Thank God Trae Young's not there, and thank God Wisconsin's probably going to lose before they play us, because I do not want to play Wisconsin again. I'm sick of playing Wisconsin. I hate them. They play our style, but they're worse at it, and the games just drag.
Well, Wisconsin, what? We played them our first year.
We played them 48 to 38
or something.
Yeah, it was horrible. That was.
And then, you know, at least with, I say Trae Young not because I'm afraid of him, because I think we would lock that guy down.
Yeah.
Just, you know, to avoid the Trae Young tracker at the bottom of the screen.
Yeah.
I don't need to know how many points he has when I'm trying to watch another game.
Going back to my original point, so like Florida, you know, a good SEC team, but not top tier. You're not talking like Tennessee, Kentucky. Are there any more good SEC teams?
Hopefully, if we end up playing Auburn. Florida, hopefully our guys would come to play, given how Florida's handled us recently.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they should be good this year. I think they've got a lot of returning guys, but I don't think they're as good as that team that beat us a couple years ago in the tournament. Oklahoma, not that good. Last year they
went with Trey Young.
They were Trey Young and four other guys. So I don't know their team this year. They might be a little bit better, but I don't think they're going to be that good. Wisconsin has Ethan Happ and Brad, Buzzcut Brad. the white guy who hustles a lot, but who dislocated his shoulder like 6 times last year.
Jeez. But so since I'm getting this, you'd rather us have a tournament that has like Michigan State.
Yeah,
Duke,
I would.
Carolina, those type of guys.
No, I want to be in something where we have a lot of Power 5 teams that will make the tournament that we can showcase. Even if we lose a game and go into the loser's bracket, we can still play a team that will give us a group 1 win, you know? And I don't know. I don't think. I mean, some of these are definitely Group 1 wins if we're talking tournament time. But and for those who don't know, Group 1, Group 2, and Group 3 and Group 4 are the ways in which the NCAA Tournament Committee determines the strength of one's games. And it's really confusing based on. It's based on where you play and if it's home or away and what their RPI is, but we're not going to get into that right now. But I think most of these would be Group 1 or Group 2 games, which is good.
Yeah.
But not like super strong opponents.
That's I'll counter you this, though. I'll counter you this. I kind of like this tournament feel. You know, it's good enough teams, but not great teams. You know, it's going to be short turnarounds. We might play some consecutive days.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that I wish we had in our non-conference schedule is one big marquee game, because we've had each of those the past couple of years. We'd have Villanova, we'd have West Virginia. When VCU was still with Shaka Smart, we'd have VCU.
We still play VCU.
Yeah, they're not the same though.
We'll
take care of business.
I hope so.
We better. But anyway, you know, I just want that one big marquee game. And you know, we haven't gotten a ton of respect in the ACC Big Ten Challenge as far as who we play. I do like that we play Maryland to kind of keep the rivalry alive.
But maybe
we could play them outside of the ACC Big Ten Challenge. Maybe we could play someone else, maybe a little better team.
We have only played like 3 teams in the past 6 years or so. We've played Maryland twice. We've played Wisconsin twice. We played Ohio State. But like we haven't played Michigan State or Indiana or Purdue in a long time. And I don't know what it is. I don't know who decides these games, but I don't think it's even. I think our team is significantly better than Maryland's team.
Yeah.
At least
the problem, we just don't get respect, you know?
No, we don't.
We get respect. We were finally starting to get respect, and then UMBC happened, and we can go down that road, as we said, maybe in a year.
That's the problem with respect, you know? You get too much of it, and then the sports gods take it away.
Yeah, but I mean, you're exactly right. We've been the best or among the top 3 teams in the ACC the past 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's not reflected in this ACC Big Ten Challenge.
Change ACC to country, because the past two of the past 3 years, we were one of the best teams in the country. And not having tournament success has hurt our exposure, especially for ESPN and these marquee games. Anyway, so let's take a look at the schedule, and we can do kind of I want to do like a win-loss thing. All right.
We're just shooting from the hip here too. Just so we're aware.
This is
our great audience.
This is just a reactionary Spitfire kind of thing. All right. So, home at Townsend.
When?
November 6th. That's our first game.
Oh, sorry. No, I know. Like, we're going to win that game.
Oh.
You know, just easy.
Oh, I thought you said... I thought you said, like, when. Like, when is it?
Nah, it doesn't matter. We'll beat them summer, winter, spring.
All right. Okay. Easy. Okay, great. Home versus George Washington.
That's a sneaky game. You know, what do you think?
You know, we lost to them a couple of years ago on the road, but I think at home we take care of business, especially with our starting five. I think this will be a good game for some of our bench players to get a couple good minutes against a good team that, you know, has made the tournament in the past. But I'm not sure what they're like this year. But I would say a win.
I'd say you're right.
Coppin State, home.
Wait, who?
Coppin State.
Oh, I was having trouble. I was like, who is that?
When you say who is it, I think that's a win.
Yeah, I think we win.
All right. So that's 3-0 before we get to the Battle for Atlantis, which is in the Bahamas and is on ESPN2. First game's against Middle Tennessee State. I think it's a win. You know, I can't see us losing the first game in this tournament, especially with the troubles that Middle Tennessee State has had over the past couple months. I think it's a easy win for us.
So then, on to the next round.
On to the next round. The next day would be Butler or Dayton.
I think we beat Dayton. I think Butler would be kind of a toss-up, quite frankly.
I think Butler...
Butler comes to play.
Yeah. Yeah, Butler comes to play, but I still think our team is super good. I think people are going to be surprised at how good we are this year. Because, you know, the starting five, quite frankly, I think is one of the best starting five in the country. We've got Kyle Guy, Ty Jerome...
are you seeing all this love that Ty Jerome's getting recently?
Yeah.
Duke just had an article. Some Duke basketball account had an article earlier today about how he might be ACC Player of the Year.
No way.
Yeah.
Seriously?
They said, watch out for Ty. I'll tell you, they're shell-shocked. They still can't believe he hit that three.
It wasn't one of their three freshmen that's going to have Player of the Year? That's shocking. You know. Shocking.
Speaking of which, have you seen Zion Williamson? Recently?
Yeah, he's
up to like 275.
He's a fatty.
He looks big now.
He is a thick boy. He is 6'7". He's listed at 6'7", 275. And I was listening to One Shining Podcast with Mark Titus and Tate Frazier, and they said a statistic that said the heaviest player in the NBA is someone who is 7'6", so flip those numbers around, and he only weighs 285. So that's Zion crazy, Williamson, man, is 10 pounds lighter than the heaviest guy, and he is a full foot shorter.
That'll be an interesting matchup, man. That'll be an interesting matchup.
He's just like a little bowling ball. Not a little bowling ball. He's a massive bowling ball. I mean, he can jump, and he can still jump, and he rocks those rims, and I'm terrified of him. I'm excited to see us play them twice this year. I really am.
Me too. Anyway, so let's say we beat Butler.
Sorry. Back to the schedule. But back to the schedule. Butler or Dayton? I think we win both of them. Dayton would be easier. I hope we play Butler, though, because that's a better game for us. That's a better, like,
it can only help us.
Yeah, it can only help us. And then our last game, we play either Stanford, Wisconsin, Oklahoma, or Florida.
Let's call it Florida.
Let's
hope we win.
My guess is going to be Florida. I hope we win that. That would be a really good win for us on the road or at a neutral site. But Florida is someone who we've had trouble with in the past. They've knocked us out of two tournaments since 2012. One was Bradley Beal, and then the other one was embarrassing. And
yeah. We don't need to go down that one.
We don't need to talk about that either. But I think we win that tournament. I think we have a good chance of winning that tournament. It'll be a good win for our team. It'll be good to get the starters. Actually, the starters can't play the whole time, and we know that, because they're going to get tired for 3 days straight. This will be a good chance for us to get some of the bench players like Frankie or like Kihi. Is that how you say his name?
I think so. Kihi? I'll tell you, he's the biggest unknown for me. We'll see. He's quick. Give him that.
He's quick. He's small. He can dunk if you give him enough space. he's definitely got some athleticism. He's got a nice floater. I think he can shoot the ball a little bit. I'm excited to see what he can do. I really am. I'm high on Mr. Clark. That's what I'm going to call him because I don't know how to say his first name right. All right.
So we win the tournament. Let's say we win the tournament.
Then we go to Maryland. We're at Maryland. 5 days later, after we get back from the Bahamas.
I'll say this. I think we lose a game either in that tournament or at Maryland. I don't think we go through non-conference undefeated. I think we drop a game somewhere.
It's really tough to play three games in a row away from home and then go away to a really hostile environment in Maryland, especially if you're jet lagged or tired. And I think Maryland is kind of, it's not a trap game because, you know, they're a decent team. They're a Power 5 team, and I think they're supposed to be at the top of the Big Ten this year, or close to the top, like top five or something. But I mean, that's a tough place to play, and they hate us, and we hate them. And the players don't, but the fans do. And I think the fans are going to let some of our players have it when they go.
I definitely think so. National TV audience, mm-hmm. You know, it's going to be a very difficult game.
It's going to be a hard game.
And there's going to be some difficult games down in the Bahamas too. Yeah. So we'll see. I think
on
if
paper,
we win the tournament, then I think we might lose against Maryland, just under my theory that we lose somewhere in there.
Yeah. Well, we're not done yet. We've still got more games to go.
Let's keep rolling.
We play Morgan State at home after Maryland. I say we win that. I say we win that easy. I don't think we need to talk about that anymore. Then we play VCU at home. And VCU...
I don't think we really need to talk about that, honestly. I think we beat VCU pretty easily.
Yeah, you know, the thing about VCU is they come to play, they hustle, they'll make you work on offense, and they play a full court game, so they're not going to let the pressure up. But I think that with our experience and our the kind of guys that we're going to have running the show, like Ty and Kyle and DeAndre, I think we're going to tear them apart.
I think it'll be a nice game.
But I do love that we play them consistently. I really do. I think it's good for our team to see something different before the ACC starts. And it's also good for the state, you know, to try and, like, we play so many teams in state. We play William and Mary too. Right.
Yeah.
We play GW, which is not really in state, but it's close. Sorry.
Yeah. I honestly have a lot of respect for Shaka Smart as a basketball coach. Mm-hmm. And I wish more props to him for going to, is he still at Texas? He's still at Texas.
He's still at Texas, but I don't know how much longer he's going to be there if he doesn't produce anything soon.
Yeah. He was just such a perfect fit at VCU, and I wish he could have stuck around.
Kind of wish he stayed, but, you know.
That could have been a fun rivalry.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think we're both saying win versus VCU. And then this next game is an unknown for me. We are at South Carolina. This kind of came out of the blue. I don't think really anyone had any idea that this was coming, this at South Carolina game. And it's kind of a weird game because, you know, South Carolina's got, they've got a good team, but they're not like a really good team. And they play tough nose defense like we do. They don't let you score easily. I think their offense is a little lacking. I think it was last year. I think that this will be a good test to see, like, all right, we're away from home. We're at some place where we have no idea what's going to happen. And I think this is a good test for, honestly, an NCAA tournament kind of situation where there's no reason you should be playing the team, right?
Yeah. And, you know, you think about it as kind of like a first, second round game.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I think it's going to be a good game. And I honestly don't know what to say for that. I think we should win it. I think we should win it, but... You know, stuff happens in college basketball. You never know. And I wouldn't, I would hate losing that game, but I think if I had to pick a game to drop, I think it would be at South Carolina.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of when we played Cal a couple years ago on the road.
Yeah.
Obviously, Cal had a lot more talent on that team. I think they had Jalen Brown on that team.
That was just the first year.
Anyway, it's kind of like a step down. It's like same idea, maybe not as good as Cal was, but I get what you're saying.
Like like a Power 5 team, but not someone that not like the top tier of that SEC, like Kentucky.
Exactly.
After we get back from South Carolina, we play William and Mary, and I think we should win that easily. I don't think there's anything we should be scared of at William and Mary.
Take care of business.
We're taking care of business. Now, the last game is versus Marshall on New Year's Eve, and that's at home. And this is a Marshall team that is scary. And they are a mid-major, but they are a good mid-major team. They were in the NCAA tournament last year.
I think they were 27-11, I read earlier last year, which, you know, it's kind of a it'll be a big game for them, and hopefully our guys show up to play. Again, it's one of those games where, on paper, we should beat any team we play in this non-conference schedule, but you and I just both know that's not how basketball works.
Yeah.
So yeah, exactly. Hopefully it's one of these teams that maybe they'll give us a scare in the first half. Maybe it's closer than we want. But again, it's a game that I think we should win.
So the thing about Marshall is that they beat Wichita State in the first round of the NCAA tournament. And that was a huge upset. And then they lost to West Virginia in the second round. They got killed, actually. But beating Wichita State was really big. A lot of people had Wichita State going really far. Marshall is a team that is led by this guy named John Elmore. He is a really good player. This guy can shoot. He can drive. It's a team that is trying to get up and down the floor a lot. They're trying to score. And I think we might have some trouble with them, as you were saying, that we might have some trouble with them just because, you know, they're trying to run the floor and push the pace. I'm interested to see if we win this. I hope we don't drop it, because that's going to be a good win if we do win it. But if we do lose, it's not the end of the world. And I think that there's a lot to learn from a loss to Marshall, but I don't think we lose.
Yeah, I don't think we do either. I mean, I think we lose one game in our non-conference schedule. If I had to take a guess, I think it's at Maryland.
I think, honestly, we should win every single game in non-conference. And
And,
you know, there's something to be said for losing a game, and so the players know what it is like to lose a game. I think that sometimes if you get into the ACC season and you get down, like if you've just destroyed your whole non-conference schedule and you get to the ACC season and it's like, oh, we're down on the road against Duke, you know, what do we do now? And they kind of get that freaked out, frightened look, you know, kind of like we were against UMBC. You know, we had destroyed almost everyone. Or we had beaten a lot of people, and we didn't know what it was like to not be in the driver's seat for a sec. I think it really freaked out our players.
One thing I like about this schedule, and I'll say again, I wish we played one big, like, notable put-it-on-your-calendar game, which we really don't. I mean, if it was up to me, we played Villanova every year. Yeah. I love that series. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Hopefully we'll get them back on our schedule soon. I was just going to say, it almost feels like Tony's just setting these guys up for what does the first weekend of the NCAA tournament look like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've had some struggles the past two seasons making it out of there.
Yeah.
And you look at these teams, a lot of them are tournament teams, but none of them are necessarily even top 25 teams.
And they're not necessarily teams that we should be afraid of. But yeah. I think he's trying to get this mental block off their back. I agree with you. I think this looks like a really good, you know, first weekend kind of schedule. You know, Maryland, South Carolina, Marshall, GW, and then of course Butler and like Florida. Those are all teams that could very well be in the first weekend of the NCAA tournament. And knowing how to play team, and also teams just like William and Mary, Morgan State, Coppin State, Towson, that, you know, these teams that, you know, we could play and who are just going to like jack a bunch of threes against us and hope that some of them go in, kind of like what, you know, UMBC did. And that's kind of the formula to beat a team that is much better than you, I think. And I think a lot of lower seeded teams are going to start doing this now against high level opponents, especially in the tournament, is jack a lot of threes. Hope they go in. Once you start jacking threes, the lanes are going to open up, and then, you know, you just have to hope that they aren't hitting shots either.
And the on-ball pressure. I mean, UMBC did it. You look at what Syracuse did to us a couple years ago.
Yeah.
We got to have guards that can handle that, which, you know, Ty and Kyle being third years, I think they can.
I think they should.
But I think we're going to get tested a decent amount. You know, again, which I wish we had Villanova on the schedule. But I think this is a good round, kind of complete way to get a feel for the ACC season and hopefully what comes in the NCAA tournament too.
And we don't have the ACC schedule yet, but we do know who we play twice. It is Duke is home and home. Virginia Tech and Louisville, of course, are home and home because we play them home and home every year. But we also play, I think it's Notre Dame home and home.
Do we not play Carolina home and home?
No.
Man, I wish we played Carolina home and
you
home.
You went Carolina and Duke home and home in the same year.
And maybe we'd alternate. But I love playing Carolina. There's something about that game.
Yeah, we play at Carolina this year. So we actually know who we play and where we play them. So like whether it's home or away, but we don't know the exact order. But once that comes out, I think there's going to be a lot of content to go through there just based on like what, like there's always one week where it's like, oh, we play like, you know, Duke, Carolina, Tech. And those are the kind of weeks that, you know, make or break a season. So I'm excited to see what that looks like. But I think this non-conference schedule is a good start. I'm just excited for basketball season.
Yeah, it's coming soon.
You know what they say? Football season means it's almost basketball season.
If Bryce Perkins can make you stop saying that, I will be so happy.
Me too. I want to stop saying it. I stopped saying it last year. I was having fun last year.
Last year we had a great start. And then it kind of fizzled. Not a great end.
But by that time I had basketball, so it was all right.
That's right. I'd say the best basketball I ever felt was 2 years ago when mm-hmm. Virginia Tech just clobbered us. Mm-hmm. I think it was the day after Thanksgiving or 2 days.
Yeah, it was like
a basketball game that night, and it was just easy transition.
What was it, like 31-0 or something?
Oh, it was like 50-something, 10 maybe. I was in Blacksburg. I left at halftime.
Oh, man.
It was bad.
I'm thinking about the home game that we had that they shut us out. It was bad.
Oh, I remember that, too.
Yeah, it was bad.
We'll talk about Tech football later.
We'll talk about them later. Rob, I want you to get out and enjoy the beach. I know that I'm taking up your time, but is there anything you want to give a shout to at the very end?
Give a shout, man. I mean, this is about football still. This is about the offense mm-hmm. and what this offense can look like. Is this going to be the same run it up the middle that Steve Fairchild has? Is it going to be the same swing passes that we did last couple of years? Or is this going to be a truly kind of dynamic offense where we have motioning receivers, where the pitch works, we're able to get to the outside and stretch the field, where we get receivers open downfield? There's a lot to discover during this training camp. And yeah, I'm really excited to see where Bryce Perkins takes us, where our receivers can take us, and really where Robert and I, if we can really open up the field, because I think, as we talked about last week, we really have to get to a bowl game, and to do that, we have to win mm-hmm. some toss-up games. And I'm excited to see if this offense can really take it to the next level.
All right. Wonderful shout. I'm going to give my shout later at the end of the episode after I've called a couple more people. Rob, Elder, thank you so much for coming on the show, and hope that you have a good week at the beach. And I'll see you next Sunday, right?
Next Sunday. Next right. episode.
It's a date.
Always a pleasure, Dustin.
Always a pleasure. All right, peace out.
See ya.
So that was Rob, my co-host. Once again, he's at the beach, so he couldn't be here. That's why the sound quality was kind of iffy. Always good to talk to him, and he'll be back next week. But the rest of the show is going to be a little bit different because I am going to call other people and see what they have to say about certain things. Probably things that we did not talk about with Rob. So I'm going to call some people, and we're going to see what they have to say.
Yo.
Hello. Justin. What's up, Avik?
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you? Avik, you're on the Guys and Ties podcast. Can you say hi?
Hey, what's up? That's Bob Elder's podcast, right?
It's our podcast.
Oh, you're on it too?
Yeah.
Nice.
You didn't know that?
No, I just saw, I clicked on the link once, and I didn't see your name on it as well, but I'm glad to hear it's both of y'all.
Yeah, I'm there. I'm here too. Rob's actually out this week, so I'm calling a bunch of people to kind of get some different vibes on UVA sports. But could you introduce yourself real quick first?
Hey, yeah, I'm Avik Trkevich. Big UVA football and basketball, especially fan. Been following the Cavaliers very closely since I went to the school in 2013, and then I've learned about their more recent history from before then.
Yeah, Avik and I lived together first year as well. We were in the same dorm and continued to hang out for the 4 years that he was there.
Yep.
And beyond. We
for all the games.
Yeah, we're actually we live very close to each other now, so hopefully we'll see each other more now. But yeah, so Avik, I know you love football. And yeah. I'm wondering what your take on the football team is this year. I want like the best thing about the football team and the worst thing about the football team.
Okay. Some big picture questions there, but I'm excited about the team this year. I know it's dangerous. But I'm always excited for football season, and the things I'm most excited about for our team this year is, number one, we're going to see if Robert and I's offense can actually be, you know, consistently effective with a dual threat quarterback. So that's what I'm most excited about, to see Bryce Perkins. He's supposedly the fastest guy on our team, running that spread to run offense with the true dual threat at quarterback. But the best thing that we know is definitely our secondary. That's the known quantity that our known entity that we have. I think Juan Thornhill is a beast. We have a lot of experience and talent back there, a lot of size. Tim Harris is back for his sixth year. So I think the secondary is the best unit on our team. But I think the thing that will raise Virginia's potential ceiling this year is the dual threat effective quarterback.
Yeah. And I talked about this with Rob a little bit earlier, but I'm a little scared. I'm not scared. Scared's not the right word, but I'm a little hesitant to be really excited for the dual threat quarterback when our last one was David Watford and it didn't end up so well, just in terms of like the running portion and the throwing portion.
Yeah, David Watford was definitely kind of a pop gun there at quarterback, but I think the system with Fairchild wasn't really suited for him. I know we had what looked like read option plays, but he wasn't ever even making a read back when Steve Fairchild was calling those plays.
Yeah.
I remember with Perkins, you saw what they did with Taysom Hill, and that's the film they're showing all these dual threat quarterbacks that they're trying to recruit. Is they're showing Taysom Hill film. So you and I both know what that offense looks like firsthand after watching it a couple times against UVA. It's has the potential to be a very effective, keep the chains moving type of offense. So I'm excited for that, definitely.
Do you know what his arm strength looks like? Like, does he have a good arm, or is he kind of like a guy who is really good at running who can also throw sometimes?
It seems like we're more confident, and I hear more about how fast he can run. And that's not to say I think he has a good arm. I think accuracy is the biggest thing we don't know yet. But the fact that he'll be able to make plays in and outside of the pocket by necessity with our offensive line, I think will definitely be a boost for us. And maybe the throws will be a little easier if some of those defenders are more up in the box with the threat to run.
Yeah. You know, so, and just sorry, go on.
No, sorry, I agree. That's one thing we don't know as much about. We're going to have to find out.
The thing about that, the reason why I'm concerned about arm strength is just because, like, last year and the year before with Kurt Benkert, you know, he had a cannon, an absolute cannon, and he could bomb that ball. And we had something last year on offense that we didn't have for many years, which was a deep threat, because he could just throw it so far. But I mean, we had so many touchdowns that were over 20 yards that I can't even remember the last time we had, probably since, you know, Schaub, did we have so many deep balls. So that was nice to have, because it, once again, it opened up the defense. And of course, you know, he wasn't the perfect quarterback, but he was the best one that we had in a long time. And so I'm interested to see how fans react if Perkins can't make the same throws as Benker. And I'm not expecting him to make, like, you know, 50-yard touchdown bombs to Zacchaeus every drive, but if he can't connect on like a 10-yard 3rd and 10, you know, how's that gonna fare for our offense?
Right. That's a good point. That's definitely something we've been, Beckert, for all his, you know, maybe his inconsistencies, he's definitely had a cannon. I agree. Got the ball into some tight spaces. Hopefully with Perkins, one advantage will be more ahead of the chains. So the 3rd and 10s will be 3rd and medium, or, you know, 3rd and 3, where we might even run on a 3rd down, which is something we couldn't do either.
Running up the middle.
Yep, run it up the middle or run it, have like a, you know, just your read Jordan Ellis or Perkins option around the end.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of things you can do with a running third quarterback, and that will help our offensive line, which is, I would still say, work in progress.
All right, awesome.
I'm hopeful, man. I think the whole Coastal is better than it was last year, but
mm-hmm.
hopefully we are too, and I think that's key to keep momentum with our recruiting as well.
Do you think that we'll end up at the bottom of the Coastal again?
I don't think we weren't at the bottom of the Coastal last year.
Yeah, but the
North Carolina was injured. I don't think we will again this year. I think we're between 5 and 7 wins, and that won't put us at the bottom.
I was just saying, just because the media all had us at the bottom. I did see
that media days we were picked last.
Yeah,
I can see why that's the case. I somehow have faith that we won't be that way. I think either Pitt, Duke, or maybe UNC again will be behind us, or at least one of those.
All right. All right, good. All right, well, thanks so much for coming on, Avik. And
yeah.
Hopefully I'll see you in person soon, all right?
Yeah.
All right, have a good day, man.
All right.
Hello, Dustin.
Hey, what's up?
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Brendan, you are on the Guys in Ties podcast.
I am?
Yeah, you are.
For what?
Can you introduce yourself, please?
Oh, hey, I'm Brendan.
Brendan and I were in Hancock dorm together first year, and then he was on Who Crew with me afterwards. But Brendan, I wanted to call and ask you some questions about sports, if that was okay.
That's fine.
Where are you at?
I am outside of Nats Park.
Oh, that's fun. Are you at a game?
Yep.
Okay. Well, I'll make this quick then.
Okay.
So, speaking of Nats, did you see that Ryan Zimmerman became the all-time leader in Nats hits?
Yeah, like on Tuesday or something, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a couple days ago, but I thought that was cool as a former Who, and he has been on the Nats forever. So I just thought that was cool. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I mean, he's like the local kid too, and he was their first draft pick. So it's our first draft pick when they were in DC.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really cool.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been hurt on and off and kind of underrated overall in the league, but he's been such a rock for the Nats that it's really cool.
Yeah. So I thought that was cool, and I'm glad that he got a lot of love from not only the Nats Twitter, but also UVA Twitter. Kind of really tried to boost that and make it special for him. So I thought that was cool. And the other thing I wanted to ask you about was whether or not you had been paying attention to basketball at all, basketball stuff.
Not really over the summer, no.
Okay.
I feel like it's been quiet. Well, I guess kind of quiet, but I haven't really been paying really any attention to recruiting at all.
Yeah, but so the non-conference schedule just came out, but
I know.
Sorry, go on.
You say the only game I know is we're at Maryland again for the ACC Big Ten Challenge.
Yeah, I hate Maryland.
So, but I don't know how we keep getting stuck with that one, but they suck. It'll be like half UVA fans, half Maryland fans.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, since you don't seem to know much about the schedule or anything, and since we've already, Rob and I already talked about the schedule, I want to talk about the roster a little bit.
Okay.
And kind of what our starting five is going to look like. And honestly, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious to most people, but I think it's going to be Kyle Guy, Ty Jerome, DeAndre Hunter, Mamani Diakite, and Jack Salt.
Yep.
And I'd be very surprised if, I mean, unless there's a suspension or an injury or something, if that is not the starting five for the entire year.
Yep, I completely agree with you.
Yeah. And I'm wondering, who do you think is going to come off the bench first?
I feel like probably Jay, just because the issue you're going to run into is if Jack or Mamani gets in the foul trouble,
mm-hmm.
then what do you do? So if Jack gets in the foul trouble, Mamani can shift over to his spot, but then you want to put another big in. So honestly, I feel like it's going to be Jay. As long as he can play defense better this year than he did last year,
Yeah.
Then if he's progressed, then I think it's going to be him.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what Jay is going to bring to the table this year, because last year, you know, there was so many like question marks about what he was going to do, and everyone thought he had that one game. I forget who it was against, but he just went off. And everyone thought that was going to be it, but then he didn't like play the rest of the year. So I think it was his defense that was keeping him off the floor.
His offense isn't a question, I don't think. Mm-hmm. And that's, our big guys have never been great at offense, but I think he's the one exception where his defense is what's holding it back.
I think you're right. I think he will come off the floor first, but I think he'll come off for, I must say, actually, I don't know. Because if he comes in for Mamadi, then he can play his natural, I think he's more of a four.
I do too. So I think he would come in for Mamadi, but Mamadi can also shift over to the five if he needs to.
He did it last year
with a little bit with when Salt would come out.
That's true.
But I mean, last year you had Isaiah who could also shift over to the five.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I think
that would be my guess, is if Jack needs to come out, Mamadi shifts to the five.
But you know,
and then Huff can come in as a four.
But you know, the only reason Jack went out first every time last year was for offense. It wasn't because he was in foul trouble or anything generally.
It's,
I mean,
offense.
Jack did really well last year at limiting his fouls most of the time. Most of the time. But I think that if Jay comes in, I think it's going to be situational whether it's for Jack or Mamadi. But I do agree. I think Jay's going to come in first. And if not him, then maybe Frankie? I don't know. I think there's so many unknowns on this team in terms of bench. You know, we've got...
Yeah, I don't know really any... Who would come off the bench at this point?
I mean, there's Jay, there's Frankie, there is Marco.
Yeah.
There's Kihi Clark. I don't know how to say his first name. I'm just going to call him Mr. Clark. Mr. Clark. And then you've got Cody Statman and Cafaro, the new big guy.
Yeah, honestly, it's probably going to be short, sir. Limited smaller rotation this year, like seven people, maybe eight rotating through. But
I mean, Jay and Marco are definitely going to play.
Yeah,
Marco will probably spell the first guard to either get a foul or, you know, if he needs a little bit of a bigger lineup, he might take out Kyle, or if he needs a smaller lineup, he might take out DeAndre. And I think, but I think it's really important. Especially in the early games, you know, we play some really we have a couple cupcakes at first. And I think it's important for the younger guys like Mr. Clark and for Marco and Jay to really get a good strong start to the to the year. I think Mr. Clark and Marco and Jay are going to be our three bench guys, and I don't really see anyone else getting a lot of time. I think Frankie will come in sparingly, but I think he's still pretty raw. I don't know that for a fact, but I haven't heard a lot from him over the summer at all.
I haven't either, so he would be the unknown, I feel like.
I think he's the biggest unknown.
Honestly, his playing time will probably be it's make or break for the first couple games.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if we're playing weaker teams, he gets some playing time in. We'll see how he does.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel that. And the other thing is, you know, who's going to redshirt? And there's been a lot of talk about, you know, Cody Statman redshirting. I think that's probably what's going to happen. You know, he fits the mold of a Tony Bennett redshirt. You know, he's undersized, and we don't really need his shooting skills right now. We've got a lot of good shooters.
We have a lot of guards, too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so I have a feeling he's going to redshirt and take a year. The other one who might redshirt is Cafaro. But I don't know if he actually will, because if one of our bigs gets hurt, then we only have three. If one of them gets hurt, then we only have three. But if he doesn't redshirt, then we have five. So I'm not sure what Tony's going to do with that, because he's a he's more of a Jack Salt than a Mamadi type player. And mm-hmm. so he's a true five.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see if he redshirts or not.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. I guess we'll see.
50-50, I feel like, on that one.
All right. Any last shout outs that you want to give?
No, I don't think so.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on and talking for a little bit.
Not a problem.
All right. Go enjoy the Nats game.
Thanks. Have a good one, you guys.
All right. Peace out, dude.
Bye.
All right. That was Brendan. He and I go way back to first year. And as I said, he joined Who Crew. So he and I have been friends for a long time. And he's really knowledgeable about basketball and football. And so good to hear his opinions on the roster. And I don't want this episode to run too long, so I'm going to say goodbye right here. Before we do that, Rob and I are going to start doing something at the end of each episode. We're going to give a shout to something. And, you know, you give a shout for DOUVA, but our shouts are going to be for something that's either sports related. It can be UVA sports related, or, you know, just anything that's kind of caught our attention this week. And something that was in the news a lot this week that really caught my eye was the Urban Meyer and Ohio State football team being in the news a lot. And they were in the news because an ex-assistant football coach for Ohio State was caught abusing his wife. And Urban Meyer said that he did not know about it, but in fact, it has come out that he did know about it. And he has since been put on paid administrative leave. And I think that this goes a couple ways. I think that there should be a fair investigation, which is what the university is doing, into if he actually knew or did not know. But if he did know, which it seems like it did, I think he's got to be fired. And I think that the firing should come quickly as soon as they find out. The domestic violence in football has been rampant, and the exposure has been really in the spotlight for the past couple of years. But with a high profile football program like Ohio State, I think that they've really got to put the hammer down before and make a good example. If they don't, it's just going to be another big football school that prioritizes football and sales over the safety of women and the safety of the people involved with the program. I think that this is something that a lot of media people have come to terms with. And I think that it's going to happen. I do think it's going to happen pretty soon. And I guess we'll have to find out whether or not it does end up getting fired. That's something that I'm going to keep my eye on for certain. I think that everyone else should too, because I think that this is a really important tell for where the state of football and the state of our country and humanity is really going. All right, but that's it for me. And me and Rob will be back next week for another episode of the Guys in Ties podcast. Go Hoos, baby.